Greetings, humans. You have entered the Command Zone, your destination for all aspects of Elder Dragon Highlander. Enjoy your stay.
Guess who's back again. Shady's back. Tell a friend. Guess who's back. I can't go that low, dude.
Guess who's back. The Command Zone's back. Hey.
Did you miss us?
I hope so, because now we return to you in video format for those of you watching on YouTube.
First time. No, wait. Not true.
Second time ever.
Yeah, because episode 100, which was only like 11 episodes ago, and I already forgot.
Yeah, but this time we have superior audio quality, and the camera's not moving. It's very locked off and stationary.
We got a sweet logo.
Yeah, our logo's behind this. If you guys did not know, if you don't watch our video podcast, we are doing our very first video podcast. So Josh and I are actually speaking into a camera right now, as well as two microphones. So if you guys want to check that out, youtube.com/TheCommandZonePodcast.
I had to like not wear a hat today.
Oh, so your hair would look nice?
So that, yeah. Well, I decided, I guess I could wear a hat.
You could. But you could do whatever you want. It might block part of the logo, though, yeah. If you weren't careful.
No, we don't want to be blocking the logo.
Oh, no, of course not.
Wait, did we introduce ourselves?
No. Oh, my gosh. Everything's gone awry. 3 weeks, 2 weeks off has been too much.
We forgot how to do the show, and there's a camera, and it's distracting us.
Yeah. How's it going, everybody? You are listening to The Command Zone. My name is Jimmy Wong.
How's it? It's Josh Lee Kwai.
And a lot of stuff has happened since we've been gone. Thanks for bearing with us, everybody.
A ton. Yeah, we're sorry. I know a lot of people were asking, what happened to you guys? Are you still making the show? Yes, we are.
I'm glad that some people thought that the sky fell down in the 2 weeks. I think we've taken a two-week break before for Christmas and stuff, but
it's been a while.
Yeah, usually people have stuff to do when we take breaks, like Thanksgiving or whatever.
So first cool thing that happened
Big
is
news.
We have a sponsor.
That's right. The show is officially sponsored. You're not going to hear any of those weird pre-roll, mid-roll, Jimmy Wong talking to you about stuff anymore, because we're both going to talk to you about our brand new sponsor, and we're so excited.
Yeah, it's a great sponsor. It's one that we can really get behind. It's Card Kingdom.
Card Kingdom! Woohoo!
You've probably heard us talk about them before. We've mentioned them a few times. They teamed up with us a number of episodes back to sort of help out a listener that had a bunch of cards stolen. Card Kingdom is the premier spot to buy your cards online, especially, and my favorite thing about Card Kingdom, I say this every time we talk about them, they are super fast.
Yeah, your order is out the door almost the same day.
Yeah, I mean, I've literally had like, oh, we're going to play Thursday night.
Yeah.
And it's like Monday, and I'm like, I want these two cards. Because the deck last time I played it was not good, and I need these two cards now, and you order them, and I've got them in time to play, you know, a couple nights later.
That's pretty impressive.
Yeah, which if you order through other services, you don't know. Sometimes it's like a week and a half. Sometimes, you know.
Sometimes it comes in 8 different packages, yeah. And then, you know, it's all packaged differently quality-wise as well. Yeah, Card Kingdom is awesome. I order from them anytime I, again, want cards very quickly. I got an entire Pauper deck in, I think, under like 2 days once.
Yeah, they're so fast. They usually ship it the same day. And now is a really good time to be buying singles, actually. I think Eternal Masters singles. I think right now
probably the best
close
time.
To the lowest they're going to be.
Yeah.
In fact, I just ordered, no joke, a bunch of Eternal Masters singles. I'll tell you what I got. I got some foil sneak attacks.
Ooh, very nice.
I saw the price was a little bit lower than I thought that they would eventually end up. Some foil in Tombs, which are a little bit low right now.
Great card.
Yep. And I got a couple of the more headliners, like a Force of Will. Because I just don't think those cards are getting any lower.
Nope.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, and if you guys go to cardkingdom.com, you can browse their entire store. Singles ship for free for orders over $25 and $50 for Canada.
Yeah. And we actually have a URL that you're supposed to use. They've given us a URL, and if you use this URL, it's great for the show because it demonstrates to Card Kingdom that their sponsorship's working. And a lot of people always ask us, like, why don't you guys have a Patreon? What can I do to support the show? Well, this is now a really good way you can. You order your cards. You're going to order cards anyway. Card Kingdom's a great place to order them from. And you'll be supporting the show if you use this URL. So the URL is cardkingdom.com/commandzone.
Yep. just click that. It'll help us because they can track the metrics right away, also seeing who's coming from where, whether or not they're coming thanks to our show. And that's going to help us a lot in the future because they'll also be able to know who's buying what, and we can sort of tailor our stuff to help, you know, maybe facilitate some giveaways.
Giveaway. Speaking of giveaway, I'm glad that was a really good segue.
Thanks.
And I just, you know, underlined it and made it like way less finesse. Anyway, yes, we're doing a very big giveaway with Card Kingdom. Card Kingdom, well, we wanted to say they're giving us the keys to the kingdom.
Yeah, sponsorship launch contest.
This is awesome. We're giving away 2 boxes worth of packs from Eternal Masters.
Woo! That is close to $500 MSRP in terms of product we're giving away. It's our biggest giveaway we have ever done. So this is the sponsorship launch contest between Card Kingdom and Command Zone, the podcast. We are giving away 2 full boxes of Eternal Masters, the pack's worth at least. We're not just giving 2 boxes away. We're going to be giving away every single day on Twitter. All you have to do is follow us at CommandCast, and that's 48 packs. 48 packs of Eternal Masters, close to $500 MSRP. This is a set built for Commander, so it's perfect that this set came out just in time for us to have this sponsorship with Card Kingdom. We're really, really excited about it. And if you want to win, you got to join Twitter. It takes 2 seconds. Everyone's done it.
Every time we ask people to join Twitter for one of our giveaways or one of, or the GP to meet up with us or whatever it is, I understand there's a lot of people that are reticent. They say, I don't do the Twitter. I don't want to do Twitter. And I say this every time. Just join it for the length of the contest. Then you can delete your account or never look at it again. Yeah. But this is just free stuff. And it's not like 2 packs of the normal set. This is Eternal Masters. These packs are expensive. They have things like Mana Crypt in them. Oof. You're going to want a chance to win this stuff. Follow us on Twitter at CommandCast.
And we're going to detail all of the details about how to enter the contest, how you're going to win. Unfortunately, this is limited to U.S. contestants only. For you international winners, if there is one of you, we'll find something to get to you. But otherwise, yes, please follow us on Twitter at CommandCast. And don't worry, guys, Card Kingdom is awesome. We're going to be doing tons and tons of more sweet giveaways in the future because this is the sponsor. This is the sponsor for us.
Yes, this is the advantage of having a sponsor, even though we gave away stuff before, but we can just do it more often now.
Yeah, perfect.
All right, speaking of Card Kingdom and what you can order there, do you know that you can pre-order Eldritch Moon right now?
That makes sense. Eldritch Moon is coming out. The hype is real. EMN, baby.
Eldritch Moon coming out very soon. Boy, that rhymed. And Jimmy.
Yeah.
Very exciting.
Yeah.
You've had a lot to do with sort of the new sort of preview rollout strategy that Wizards is doing.
Yeah, I believe it's the first time they've ever done something like this. I was brought up to Seattle back almost 3 or 4 months now to film 3 episodes of a show called Access Magic. The second episode came out on Monday, where I interview some people that were key to the design and development of the set and preview really cool cards every single time we do it. So the first time I got to interview Mark Rosewater, we talked about what happened in Shadows Over Innistrad into what the setting is for Eldritch Moon, and we previewed the brand new Emrakul.
Emrakul.
Very cool. Yeah, the big mama
this
herself.
This was sweet.
The card is Emrakul, the Promised End. It is a 13-cost mana creature for a 13/13 legendary creature, Eldrazi. Very Triskaidekaphobic.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's great.
Yeah. It's Emrakul, the Promised End, costs 1 less to cast for each card type among cards in your graveyard. So that's instant sorcery creature, enchantment, planeswalker, tribal, land. And so, essentially, if you have all 7 of those in your graveyard, Emrakul actually costs 6, which is pretty insane.
Also a legendary creature, so it could be your commander.
Yeah, 100%. When you cast Emrakul, you gain control of target opponent during that player's next turn. After that turn, that player takes an extra turn. And it has flying, trample, and protection from instants.
Protection from instants. It's awesome, but
it is like, awesome.
Well, okay, let's break this down. Obviously, the cost reduction is really good.
Yeah.
And in our format, it's going to be a lot easier to get all the different types in there.
A lot of self-mill currently in standard as well.
Correct. The next thing, though, is the crazy thing. And the thing that, because it's sort of an uncounterable Mindslaver effect.
Yes.
Because it's when cast. You cast. So even if you counter Emrakul, the cast trigger would still happen. You'd still take control of target player's next turn.
Which is pretty insane. The interesting caveat here is that the player gets another turn after that turn.
Correct.
But usually one extra turn is enough by the point that you cast this. So let's say, I mean, if you're able to have, let's say reasonably like 9 to 10 mana to cast this, mm-hmm. which a lot of standard decks are doing to cast the Big Daddy Ulamog right now.
Right.
So when you do that, by that point, your opponent's probably going to have 2 to 4 cards in their hand. And if they're holding...
It's Commander. They might have 27 cards
true.
In their hand.
True. In Commander, they'll definitely have a lot more. But when you cast this thing, you're going to be able to do, hopefully, a lot of damage with that player's turn. They get an extra turn after that, but usually you've made really ill-advised attacks. You cast all their sorceries on their own things. You've done instants on their own things, and you've just basically wrecked their board. If they have a sac outlet, ooh, good game.
Yeah, if they have a sac outlet, it's brutal. It's brutal all around. Yeah, their turn that they're taking is not the equivalent of what their turn would have been had you not taken over the turn right yeah. before that. Because, like Jimmy said, you get to wreck everything, wreck their hand, wreck their board with their own cards. There are, of course, times when the Mindslaver effect, you take control of their turn and you can't do much. Just because mm-hmm. it just happens to be that the way that their board and their hand are set up is that there's not a lot you can do. You can sort of attack, maybe... There's not really good blocks for anybody based on what they've got. Maybe they don't have anything in their hand that can harm themselves.
Yeah.
But usually there's things you can do.
Yeah, and you're, of course, going to want to target someone that has the most ability to do something as well. You're not just going to throw it on, like, the red-white Boros player that has just swung out and has 0 cards in their hand. It's like, right. All right, I know what's going to happen if I take their turn. I can see it on the board.
I mean, you're almost always going to kill their best creature because you have a 13-13.
Right.
So you just attack into that.
Mm-hmm.
And you can
and if
block
they have
with
sorcery
it.
Like speed removal, like Vindicate, they cannot use it on Emrakul. Because right. you're just going to choose to place it somewhere else.
Yeah. I mean, this card seems pretty crazy, especially as a commander, because you can keep using that effect.
Yeah.
Then you sack Emrakul and you do it again, or you know, you bounce it back to your hand and you do it again.
Yeah, especially if you get the full cost reduction, which I think a lot of decks that play this as a commander are going to want
to
do.
Yeah, they're going to be trying to, because basically every card type that you put in your graveyard is like ramping you.
Yeah.
So very this feels very, very powerful. It feels like it's going to be a really good commander.
At the very least, it's an Emrakul that we can now play in commander because the other one is banned.
Correct.
So we have that going for us.
Oh,
one thing to note, when it says you gain control of target opponent during that player's next turn, if it's your turn and the player you want to take control of is 3 people away from you, you have to wait all the turn yes. cycles until it gets to their turn. So you don't immediately get that extra turn. So that may change the dynamic of what you want to do here because, you know, maybe they've got some... Maybe they can do something in that time period that would make your Mind Sliver effect that much worse.
Yeah, especially if they've got untapped mana.
Yeah.
And so they might be able to just fire off their instance, even if it's, like, not at the best targets, just so that you don't get to use them against them, that kind of thing.
Yeah, certainly.
Yeah, it's cool. I've said this before on the cast. This is probably the effect I like the least in Magic, is mm-hmm. the take control of a player's turn. It's just one player being pushed off where they're not playing doesn't feel the best to me, so I'm not.
But hey, they get an extra turn after that.
Yeah, it's just, to me, I don't love that effect. I'll just say that. You know? The card design is cool, but I just wish the Mindslaver effect itself was not.
That happens in Magic in general.
Yeah, and so every time it gets printed again, and I know they've got precedent to keep doing it, it's just a little bit like, ah, gosh, that again, I don't love it.
Right. I get what you mean. All right, so in the last episode of Access Magic, by the way, you guys can watch this by going to the Wizards YouTube page. Josh and I have also tweeted about it. It's everywhere. You should have seen it by now. If not, there's links, of course, everywhere. They previewed a brand new, two new cards, and these cards are... absolutely insane. We're going to be talking about them later on the episode. Actually, we're going to try and brew all about it. But before then, we actually have, gosh, this is a sweet episode. Great one to come back on. We have our own preview card to give to you guys today as well.
Jimmy, you're like unveiling like half the set.
I don't know how this happened, but I'm
pretty cool.
I'm down
it's
for
pretty
it.
Pretty sweet.
Hey, you know, if it supports this podcast and gets us, you know, out there a little more, then I am 100% for it. So. Very
yes.
exciting.
Well, it's really exciting. Our preview card has a lot of text on it.
Yeah, it is. It's a very strange card. I've never seen a card like this before.
Yeah, after we saw it and I started to think about it, it's really interesting. It'll be interesting to see. We're at this period, and it always is like this for preview cards, where like the card's not out there, so you can't like type it into EDH Rec and kind of see what other people have thought to use with the card. So
right.
it's like, it's pretty cool. It kind of reminds me of the very early days of Magic, where you didn't have any sort of databases or information, and you just see a card and you'd be like, well, it's what you can think of to use with it. So this is the first time that you guys are going to get to see it, and you're going to have that moment. It's only going to last a little while before everybody else starts throwing their ideas into the mix of like what comes to your mind. The card is called Soul Separator.
Soul Separator.
And the name is perfect. So I'm going to let you go ahead and read it, Jimmy.
Okay, cool. It's a 3-drop artifact. It's a rare. You can pay 5 mana and tap it to sacrifice Soul Separator. Exile target creature card from your graveyard. Put a token onto the battlefield that's a copy of that card, except it's a 1-1. It's a spirit in addition to its other types, and it has flying. Put a black zombie creature token onto the battlefield with power equal to that card's power and toughness equal to that card's toughness. So you activate the Soul Separator targeting a creature card in your graveyard, and you get 2 cards out of it. One is a 1-1 spirit with flying in addition to whatever creature types it is, and it's a complete copy of the text of the card. And then the other card is a black zombie creature token with power and toughness equal to the power and toughness of the original card. So,
but the zombie does not have the text box or the creature type from that original creature.
It separates the soul from the body. Cards. Yeah, which is really cool. And one is a spirit and one's a zombie.
Yep. It's really interesting to think about. So let's just take a card, for example. Let's take Prodigal Sorcerer, one of the show's favorite cards.
Yep.
So if that's in your graveyard and you soul separated it, what you would get is a 1-1 flyer that taps to do 1 damage and a 1-1 zombie because Prodigal Sorcerer is a 1-1.
Yep. If you did this to something like an Ulamog's Crusher, you would get a 1-1 flying spirit creature token with Annihilator on it. And then you would also just get an 8-8, which is very strange. That you would have a flyer with Annihilator. I think that's hilarious. Like a 1-1 spirit with Annihilator 2.
Like, yeah, the 1-1 spirit has like, somehow.
How is that thing annihilating anything? And the rest of it is just an 8-8 zombie otherwise. So
it would have to attack each turn if it's able to.
Yeah,
the 1-1 flyer.
Yeah. The question that I'm really curious about is what creature cards are out there in the history of Magic that have a detrimental effect that's tied either to their text and it's linked to their power and toughness or vice versa?
Right. So that if you lose half of it, you actually want to, or you want to separate those.
Yeah, exactly.
Like you want the power and toughness to be separated from the text box. Yeah, it's interesting, and there's probably some of those cards. Also, it's just a value card because you get a 1-1 flyer that has an ability. And if you have a bunch of, let's say you had, I don't know, Endbringer. Endbringer's a 5-5, and it also has a bunch of tap abilities. And the problem with a card like that is that if I use the tap ability, I can't attack with the 5-5.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Endbringer untaps itself, so it's maybe not the best example, but you have to make those choices. So this could separate a card that is a good card, like Visara. Visara's in Eternal Masters.
Right.
And it's a big flyer, but it also taps to destroy a creature, which means most of the time I don't want to attack with it. I want to destroy a creature.
But it's also a 5-5, which is pretty good.
So if I soul separate it, now I can attack with the zombie 5-5, but I still have this 1-1 flyer that's sitting there that can use the ability.
Yeah, really interesting. I think it's an awesome way to get... I mean, like, usually when you reanimate a card, and like, for Animate Dead's a card in EMA that we use a lot, if you just target that creature and you get rid of it, it's gone. But now you have 2 things on the battlefield that are lesser versions of the same card, but you're still getting 2 cards for 1, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the input cost is a little tough. It's 8 mana total. Usually you do it over 2 turns, but it's something you can play in turn 3 and just have sitting there for a long time and know at some point, you know, if you have a deck that wants to put things in the graveyard already, the Soul Separator could be an amazing card for that kind of deck.
I also think it's good in decks that are good at recurring artifacts so that you can just keep using it. Because it exiles the card that it targets in your graveyard, the creature card, but it itself doesn't exile. You sacrifice the Soul Separator. So it's still sitting in your graveyard. If you can bring it back out, use it again.
Yeah.
So much the better.
So much the better. So please submit your ideas to CommandCast on Twitter. I'd love to see some crazy creatures in Magic's
history.
Yeah,
how do we break this card?
Yeah. I want to break it wide open because this screams like commander potential because we have access to all of these cards to use it on.
I will break you.
That's terrifying. All right. Okay, so let's move on to our main topic today, which is the brand new preview cards that were shown on Monday on Access Magic. And a lot of people saw the art for this.
Crazy.
Yeah, the art for this was running around, and I remember tweeting about it, being like, holy crap, look at this craziness, knowing fully well in my head what the card was. Yeah. So we're going to be Bruin Brizella.
Brizella. Now, the art, and I'm sure Terry's going to put it up right now, is this crazy tentacled, I don't know, it's like a... What does that look like?
It's a beastly meld of...
Yeah, it's a meld. Well, that's a really good word for it.
Yeah.
It's a tentacle meld of... Well, it's Bruna and Gisela.
Yeah, so Bruna and Gisela are old Commander favorites. These cards are both very powerful, and we've used them in Commander for a very long time. However, in Eldritch Moon, these cards are now 100% mono-white, and they meld into some crazy craziness, which is really cool.
It's the angels being corrupted by Emrakul.
Yeah.
Basically. So they start out as angels, and Emrakul's gotten into their heads and melded them into this weird, you know, combination of the two that's also evil and scary.
And for the first time ever in standard legal sets, we're going to have a card that's just like the big frame monster that turns into something even crazier. So let's read the text on these cards. Josh, you want to read Bruna first?
Sure. Bruna, the Fading Light, 5/2 white for a 5/7 with flying and vigilance, legendary creature, angel horror. When you cast Bruna, the Fading Light, you may return target angel or human creature from your graveyard to the battlefield.
Wow. So that's powerful by itself. That's like a karmic guide kind of effect. But
with
just
no echo.
No echo, and just for angels and humans.
Very, very strong. I mean, it's cheating of mana cost. Now, Bruna costs 7, but the thing that you get can be any mana cost. If it's sitting in your if it's sitting in your graveyard and it's an angel or a human, Bruna doesn't care anything else. Is it an angel or a human? Okay, fine. Bring it to the battlefield.
Yeah, and some very interesting text at the bottom of this card says, melds with Gisela the Broken Blade. So Gisela the Broken Blade is a 2/white/white 4/3 flying first strike lifelink legendary creature angel horror. Okay, you could just stop right
there. 4
mana,
4/3 flying first strike lifelink?
That's insane by itself. That card is incredible. And the rest of the text is even more interesting. At the beginning of your end step, if you both own and control Gisela the Broken Blade and a creature named Bruna the Fading Light, exile them, then meld them into Brazella, Voice of Nightmares.
So we've heard this meld word a couple times, which is it's a new mechanic.
Mm-hmm.
And you referred to the Big Furry Monster. If you're not familiar with the Big Furry Monster, it was in one of the unsets, I think Unglued. Mm-hmm. And it was 2 cards. So what happened is you would take one card and the other card and you put them together and they would actually form the picture of an entire card. And so on the flip side of Bruna is half of Brazella, and on the flip side of Gisela is the other half of Brazella. And so when they meld, you flip the 2 cards over and they combine to create
Brazella, Voice of Nightmares. And that is the art that was circulating around last week. This card looks absolutely insane. This, I mean, already I was just in my head screaming Commander. I was like, oh my goodness, Commander.
Oh my goodness, Commander.
Brazella, Voice of Nightmares is a 9/10 legendary creature, Eldrazi Angel. I don't think we've ever put those two words together. Flying, first strike, vigilance, lifelink. Blech. And then the real kicker. Your opponents can't cast spells with converted mana cost 3 or less.
Wow. That's like reverse Gaddic Tea, almost.
Yeah.
It's also colorless on the other side.
Yeah. And upon discovering what had become of her sisters, Sigarda could only weep tears of joy because this card is so cool.
Tears of joy. I don't know. It's tears of scariness.
Yeah. I love the art on all of these as well. If you look closely on Gisela, she's got tentacles already coming out of her back. Yeah. And you can see Emrakul's tentacles coming through the sky. And the same for Bruna. And so clearly they've been corrupted and they're turned into this ridiculous card.
Brazella is extremely powerful because think of what it means, that little part that says your opponents can't cast spells with converted mana cost 3 or less. Think of all the spells like Cyclonic Rift. Your opponents can't cast Cyclonic Rift.
Yeah, think of all
this. Think of all the counter spells. Almost all of them are 3 or less.
Heroes Downfall, all your removal spells, Vindicate.
Swords of Plowshares.
Swords.
Path to Exile. Not to mention smaller creatures. Mm-hmm. Things like Signets. There's a whole bunch of stuff that it just turns off.
Yeah. Interestingly enough, I mean, these cards, you know, they very much work with each other. If you play Gisela, and then if you play Bruna, if Gisela somehow dies, you get Gisela back because it is an angel / human. In this case, it's an angel horror. So these cards want to meld together, and it's great. You know, you have both of them, and then when they're melding, you turn them upside down, and it's like, whoop.
The sound effects are the best part.
Yeah. For your video, for the video watchers, that's definitely for you guys. Very exciting, though. So, interesting. It's mono white. That changes things quite a bit.
Yeah, we were talking about, so we're going to talk about some ways we might build decks with Brazella in mind. and you and I were chatting about it, getting ready for the show, and you were saying how a lot of the cards you wanted were in other colors.
Yes. Especially if it's stuff like, look, you want to have, you know, my ideal thing is like, cool, toss Gisela in the graveyard, cast Bruna, you've got the combo going. You don't need to have two pieces surviving for an extra amount of time. You can do it all in one turn.
So you want black so you can get Entomb, so you can get Gisela into the graveyard, and then...
You want green for creature tutors.
Yeah, that makes sense. And it's funny because you're going in the direction that I would normally go in, right? Because I made the five-color Marchesa deck or the Nekazari. But then, of course, I came up with a bunch of ideas if you just put Bruna at the...
At the helm.
At the helm, and then, you know... tried to make the deck work with Bruna as a commander, because I do think Bruna is actually a fairly decent commander, because that ability is so powerful. If you have a lot of humans and you have a lot of angels, then you're cheating stuff into play, and Bruna's pretty good even without the Brazella thing. And then if you can pull off the Brazella thing, it's even better.
Yeah, and mono white is typically seen as one of the worst, if not the worst, monocolored deck. So it's very interesting, because you're already restricting yourself power level wise, but I'm really, really interested to see how this will work. And how you would build this in a way that stays true to keeping one of these angels sort of as your commander. And of course, if you want to put in more colors and brew with that, you know, absolutely go for it. Sigarda obviously is mentioned on the flavor text of Brazella, so I think that would be a fine commander as well.
From a Vorthos perspective?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I do think if you're adding more colors, then you definitely want green and you probably want black.
Yep.
And you probably don't need blue and red.
What do you mean you don't need blue and red?
I mean, you could do it, obviously...
But why would
how do we change bodies here? Why am I defending the not five color and you're talking about five color?
Why would you play a deck without blue and red though? I'm so confused.
Who are you?
Yeah, what's going on here?
Okay, let's talk about some of the cards. So some things that immediately come to mind, right? If you're playing Bruna as the front man, the lead singer, as it were, and how you would try and pull off, because you'd still honestly. I mean, obviously, you'd want to kill people by hitting them with Brazella.
As hard as you can.
Yeah.
Because it's a 9-10 flying first strike, vigilance, lifelink.
Yeah. And also, you get to just be like, Brazella.
Yeah.
Take it.
About that. Now, the interesting question is, one, equipment's going to look very small on this card.
It's true, because it's going to be twice two cards. That's awesome.
Also, how exactly...
Man, tapping it's going to be like...
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. I mean, it's very intimate. Well, you don't have to. It's vigilant.
Oh, good point.
Yeah, so Blizzard's thought of that, clearly.
They didn't want you to be tapping two cards. Yeah. It's just confusing.
The question is, now, does this count towards commander damage? Because technically, it's half of it is still your commander.
I think it does.
I think it does,
because too. Because they talked about, the rules committee, I mean, talked about how commanderness was tied to the card itself. Mm-hmm. So we learned that even if it's manifested somehow... it would still do commander damage, even if, you know, you didn't even know it was the commander.
Yeah.
Quote unquote. And that led to a lot of issues. And part of the reason they sort of did away with Tuck was ostensibly sort of coming up with the official ruling for what commanderness is. So Brazella, if any part of it is your commander, which part of half of it is, and it does damage, then that would be commander damage, I'm assuming.
Yeah, I would assume that as well. All right.
So if you have Bruna as your commander, then you obviously want to be able to find Gisela. And it's pretty challenging because white's not great at that.
No, I mean, white can fetch stuff out, specifically enchantments with something equipment. Like Enlightened Tutor equipment. Reforged
auras. They're pretty good at getting auras.
Yeah. So,
but creatures, they're not good at it.
Yeah, unfortunately not. But however, there have been a lot of cards printed at Artifact. I was going to say at rare.
At Artifact.
Yeah, at Artifact that do this same thing.
Right.
And when I was building
They're not super efficient, but they do it.
Yeah, and I was building my mono red deck originally, and I was like, well, I really need to tutor some stuff out, but red only has Gamble, so I looked to a lot of these cards as well. So a card like Planar Portal, and this is, we're definitely getting into high mana costs here. It's a 6-drop artifact that you can pay 6 mana to tap it and search your library for a card and put that card into your hand, then shuffle your library. So Demonic Tutor for 12 mana, essentially, and then 6 every single time after that.
It's not efficient.
No.
But it will allow you to go find Gisela.
It gets the job done.
Yeah. And there's going to be other cards. I mean, just like any deck, you're going to want to have certain cards at certain times.
Mm-hmm.
And so Planar Portal does give you the leeway to go get, you know, the Wrath of God if you need that.
Right.
Ring of Three Wishes is another one. It's 5 mana for an artifact. It enters the battlefield with 3 wish counters on it.
Make a wish.
And then you pay 5 and tap it. and remove a wish counter from Ring of Three Wishes, and then you search your library for a card and put that card into your hand and then shuffle your library. So it's basically Planar Portal. It costs one less to activate, one less to cast, but you can only do it three times, whereas Planar Portal, once you've got it out, you can do that as many times as you want.
Yeah. I think that extra... I think shaving two mana off the cost is definitely worth it.
Yeah.
I don't think I would find in a game that many times I'm going to be searching more than three times, honestly. If you're trying to... I mean, if you find three cards out of your library, you should be in pretty good position.
I mean, have you ever Demonic Tutored three times in a game? Like, you don't usually generally need to do that.
I wish I could.
I mean, I wish I could do it every turn.
Yeah.
Actually, there's that card, the Wooburg thing. I forget what it's called. I have that in one of my decks that does Demonic Tutor every turn.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
And usually, if you do that for three turns, you just win.
Yeah. Well, in mono white, though, you're definitely stretching to find answers.
True. I mean,
that's why you're going to be running Enlightened Tutor, which was just reprinted in Eternal Masters, which is a white mana, one instant. Search your library for an artifact or enchantment card, reveal that card, shuffle your library, then put that card on top of it. So technically, card disadvantage because you have to draw the card and you spent a card to get a card. So... interesting.
But it can get you the Ring of Three Wishes. It can get you the Planar Portal.
Yeah, tutoring for more tutors, of course. Classic classic EDH behavior.
There's also Skyship Weatherlight. So it's four mana for a legendary artifact. When it comes into play, search your library for any number of artifact and or creature cards and remove them from the game, then shuffle your library. So you take... At the time you play it, you go through your deck and you find as many artifacts and creatures as you want and you sort of exile them off to the side. And then... You pay four, tap the Skyship, choose a card at random that was exiled with Skyship Weatherlight, put that card into its owner's hand. So you could only exile Gisela, mm-hmm. in which case you're guaranteed to get it. Or you can exile a few things and then, you know, roll the dice.
It's funny, we went from a 6 mana, 6 activating cost to a 5 mana, 5 activating cost to a 4 mana, 4 activating cost. Yep. And it got more specific every single time. But Skyship will 100% get you the card you want if you have 8 mana and you're only getting one thing with it. But now,
the sort of risk is if you play it out on 4 and then exile Gisela and then somebody destroys your Skyship Weatherlight, well, Gisela's in exile now.
Yeah, she's gone. She's not your commander and she will not be returning to the command zone.
So there is, you are taking on some risk by doing that. Like you said, if you play it when you have 8 mana available, it's a lot safer.
Yeah.
But at the same time, that's way later in the game, so...
Mm-hmm. I'm very excited. I would love to use the Skyship Weatherlight in any deck because I think that ability is awesome and hilarious.
Plus, it's the Skyship Weatherlight.
Yeah, it's
I mean, just using it, you're like, I get to use it.
Yeah, definitely. You've also got Sentinel Flute, which is a 5-drop artifact. You can pay X to tap it. Search your library for a creature card with converted mana cost X or less. Put it into your hand, then shuffle your library. So Gisela, in this case, is a 4-drop. So this actually is a 5 mana for a 4-cost tutor for a creature card. And this is actually great. I think Sentinel Flute is really awesome because you can find a lot of stuff with this. Especially, it's much more toolboxy for a cheaper cost because mm-hmm. you can do it for 1 to get Mother of Runes out. You know, you can do... If for 2 to get any number of 2-drops out. So I like this a lot, actually.
Yeah, I think that's probably the best one of all of them.
Yeah.
And it's not as versatile because you have to go get a creature card. So once you have Gisela or if you don't need Gisela, it's not as good. But for Gisela specifically, it's great. So we're speaking about that problem of if Gisela gets exiled, it can sort of ruin your whole plan of Brizella ever becoming a thing and smashing Sanus. People in the face. So one card I would definitely... think about including is Pull from Eternity. It's 1 white mana for an instant. It says put target face up exiled card into its owner's graveyard. So if any card's been exiled, you can actually bring it back into the game. It's going to go into the graveyard. But if you'll recall, being in the graveyard's great mm-hmm. because you just cast Bruna and it brings Gisela back out of the graveyard into play. So,
yep. And there's also of course Karmic Guide does a similar thing of taking it combos with Pull from Eternity. Karmic Guide, Resurrection, Breath of Life. All of these cards grab a creature card out of your library, out of your graveyard, and put it onto the battlefield, which is great.
And Karmic Guide's also an angel. So mm-hmm. you can sort of, you can string it, you can chain it with Bruna. So you cast Bruna, bring Karmic Guide out, then bring something else out, and you just sort of get an extra card out of that. Also,
jeez, so much value.
With Karmic Guide in play, you could actually bring back creatures that weren't angels or humans
mm-hmm.
because Karmic Guide goes to the graveyard. Now you play Bruna, bring Karmic Guide into play, then Karmic Guide can bring Sun Titan into play or, you know, Revelark or Elishnorn.
Yeah.
You know, some of these creatures that Bruna couldn't get.
Out of control with that.
Yeah.
So Another card I really like that you put on here is Faith's Reward. You have this in your Shadowborn Apostles deck, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, this card, when it works, it just blows people out.
People never see this card coming in. Yeah, yeah.
3 and a white instant, return to the battlefield all permanent cards in your graveyard that were put there from the battlefield this turn. So if someone blows something like a Nevenreal's Disc, if you even destroy your own Nev's Disc, Faith's Reward brings all of those permanents back, not just non-land permanents, every single permanent that got in there. So this is an awesome card for both. You can control the board with it when you can play this on yourself, and you can also save your board from it, because when you get Brazella out, someone's probably going to want to be board wiping soon.
Yeah, which is a really, really scary thing, because once you've done all the work of getting Brazella out and all they have to do is like one board wipe, but now all of a sudden, if you've got 4 mana, boom, they just come right back out.
Yeah.
Like you said, it's also really good with board wipes, which you're going to play some because you're in white.
Yep.
Oh, yeah, the next thing I put down was some protection. So it's basically, you know, if you're going to try and do the Brazella thing, it's basically a Voltron deck, right?
Mm-hmm.
So Voltron decks are trying to suit up one creature with a lot of stuff and just hit you with one big creature. But Brazella's just got that additional step of you have to find Gisela first.
Yeah, you have to wait to your end step to have it transform, and then you get to go to combat with it. So there's a lot of steps to get Brazella out there.
So you're going to need some stuff like Darksteel Plate, which will give the equipped creature indestructible. Lightning Greaves, which gives it haste and gives it
Shroud.
Shroud.
Yeah.
Fire Shrieker is another one I put on there, because you're going to be lucky if you hit somebody with Brazella, let's be honest.
Yeah.
So I don't want to have to hit them a bunch of times. I want it to be like, and then I hit you.
Yeah.
You're gone. You're KO'd. Next person.
You want cards like Spectral Ward, which you just toss on any creature, gives it +2/+2 on protection from all colors. So this with Fire Shrieker means that it's going to be an 11, 12, and one hit kills anyone. And it has protection from all colors, so it cannot
it's just really hard to deal with.
Very hard to block, unless you have like a artifact flyer. Ornithopter gets around that.
Man, Ornithopter's so good. Wait, no. Not that good. and then I was thinking, like, you're going to want the deck to function while you're waiting to sort of figure out how you're going to get Gisela or Hope You Draw or whatever. And obviously, we're not going to talk about the ramp. You're going to use a lot of mana rocks because it's white.
Mm-hmm.
Card draw, we know that's a thing. You're going to use the Mind's Eye and the artifact card draw and maybe even Mentor for the Meek, some Bygone Bishops and whatever else you can figure out. But you're also, I think, at the base, this deck is a reanimation style flicker deck.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to want to have cards that you want to reanimate and have some effect when they enter the battlefield, and then you're also going to want to be able to flicker them, and you've got things like Eldrazi Displacer. Displacer with Bruna is really good because you flicker Bruna and bring something out of your graveyard.
Mm-hmm.
So Eldrazi Displacer, if we'll recall, was the white Eldrazi from Battle for Zendikar that cost 2 and a white for a 3/3. It has Devoid. You pay 2 and a diamond mana, 2 and a colorless. Exile another target creature, then return it to the battlefield tapped under its owner's control. So it can't flicker itself, but other than that, it's kind of a Deadeye Navigator.
Yeah, not to mention you can swing with Bruna and then do this because she has Vigilance, so she won't be tapping, you know, and then, yep, you know, swing it, bring her in back. You know, you don't need to do this in your first main phase.
You can protect her with it because, you know, if they go to pinpoint removal, flicker it out the way, but also just get that trigger of returning something from the graveyard, a human or angel, to the battlefield, and that's, mm-hmm, a super powerful effect because that can give you 10 mana worth of creature sometimes, or yep, 8 mana worth of creature.
Notably, if you do this to Brazella, I believe it's going to flicker both sides of her back to normal.
Back to normal.
Yeah.
But then at the end step, they should meld, right?
Yeah, it's only your end step, though, so you have to wait till then. Yeah, so it's definitely very specific. Displacer can individually protect Gisela and Bruna, but once it becomes Brazella, it's a single creature, so flickering it once, I believe, both those cards come back tapped under its owner's control. Now, if I'm wrong about this, who knows? But I'm pretty sure they come back untransformed.
This is another another danger of speaking of a card before we're allowed to talk to judges about it, with especially a mechanic like Meld that we've never really seen before. So I'm not exactly 100% sure how that works.
Yeah.
But I think you're right.
Yep. All right. There's also cards like Ghostly Flicker. Again, the Flicker Ward is in there. Unfortunately,
Ghostly Flicker is blue. Ghost,
yeah.
Away.
Ghost Away. Bad. Yeah, Ghost Away.
I wrote it down wrong.
Ghost Way, I find this card actually to be very powerful as well. Every time I see this get played, it always blows out someone. It's 2 and a white for an instant. Remove each creature you control. Return those cards to the battlefield under their owner's control at the beginning of the next end step. It's actually very similar to Eerie Interlude, which is a card, yep, that
Another card you could easily play.
Yeah, it came out in Shadows of Innistrad. It's exile any number of targeted creatures you control and return those cards to the battlefield under their owner's control at the beginning of the next end step. So it's a great way to save your cards. It's a great way to get under the battlefield effects again. Doing this with like Karmic Guide and Bruna means you're just pulling so many cards out of your graveyard back to the battlefield.
And there's cards like Avacyn, the original Avacyn, gives all your stuff indestructible, which is something you want to do in a Voltron deck because you want to be indestructible. There's all cards like, oh, actually the new Avacyn would sort of work too.
It is white-red, though.
Just until the end of turn. Oh, yeah, you're right. You can't do that. Yeah. It's white-red. It has the other side.
That's why Brazella's crazy, because the other side has no color. It's just colorless. Pure colorless. Yeah, and Eldrazi Angel, my favorite kind.
And I was also thinking that you're going to want some self-mill, self-discard type stuff,
mm-hmm.
because you're in a sort of reanimator deck. Now you're in white, who's not the best at... White's okay at reanimating things, not the best, but okay. But they're not the best at like taking cards in their hand and putting them in the graveyard
mm-hmm.
or milling themselves. I mean, you could go like Millstone or something. That's not very efficient, and it's just going to be like you're going to have to get lucky.
Yeah.
But Grimoire of the Dead is a card I would think about playing. It's 4 mana for an artifact, a legendary artifact. You pay 1, tap the Grimoire, and discard a card, and then you put a study counter on it. Listen, there's more text on the card, and I will read it, but that's what you want to do.
Yeah.
You don't care about anything else. You just want to be like, because think about this. If I ramp a couple, and I can cast Bruna on, let's say, turn 5 or 6, well, if I can just discard Avacyn, the original Avacyn, because not the red one.
Or Gisela,
or shoot, any angel or human that's awesome, because and you know they're going to be awesome because they're in your deck. Then I can play Bruna out and just also get like 8 mana worth of free angel with it.
Yeah.
But I just had to figure out some way to get that angel to the graveyard, you know,
in white, notably. So yeah. Artifacts are your friend here because you can't just entomb it and just be happy with it because you're mono white.
Right. It will have to be in your hand.
Yeah.
But there are some cards. This is one of them. There are a few others that allow you to discard a card.
Yeah.
And you could think about some self-mill. I don't know. Maybe that is the right way to go. I'm not really sure.
Yeah, it's interesting. I think you want a little mix of both of it. I mean, if you're going to do that, then you're really going to want to focus on the white reanimator effects. You're going to want to focus on cards that have flashback potentially,
right,
or retrace, any sort of that. And the other part of Grimoire of the Dead is you can tap it to remove 3 study counters from it and sack it, and you put all creature cards from all graveyards onto the battlefield under your control. They're black zombies in addition to their other colors and types. So a little out of flavor, considering they're zombies and not Eldrazi. But hey, that's actually a very powerful effect.
It's a super powerful effect. So even later on in the game, you could maybe just get a huge army of zombies stuff.
Yeah.
And run everybody over that way. Yeah, I like this card.
Yeah, I like it a lot. I agree, though. I think you're going to want to have at least a little bit of self-mill slash discard in your deck. And of course, ramp. You got to ramp in mono white if you're going to play this deck successfully, because you need to have all the help you can get, honestly.
Yeah, I mean, you want the Talisman, you want the Worn Power Stones, you want the Thran Dynamos, you want the Gilded Lotuses, you even want like the, what is it, like the medallions or whatever that say like all white spells cost 1 less and that kind of stuff. White's just going to need it. They don't have Rampant Growths and, you know, they don't have Mana Dorks and they don't have all this awesome stuff. And the problem with that and the scary part about that is that a Vandal Blast or a Shatterstorm or a Destroy All Artifacts just like ruins your whole day.
Yeah, that's why you need Faith's Reward.
That's why you need or something that gives all your stuff indestructible until end of turn, or something that blinks all your stuff out, or you just need to be prepared because there's probably going to be at some point somebody's going to Vandal Blast, and for everybody else that's like mildly annoying, but for you it gets rid of half your mana.
Yeah, which is not a good place to be.
Not a good feeling.
Yeah, you're also going to want to play cards like Land Tax, Knight of the White Orchid, just ways to get extra lands on the battlefield any way you can.
Yep. Yeah, I put what really sucks for you is Tuck slash Bounce.
Oh, gosh.
Because those are just two effects that White's just doesn't really have an answer to.
Tuck is awful if you spent so much mana getting a creature into your hand and then playing it, and they're like, Tuck it, shuffle it, Oblation. Like, no!
Yeah, and because Gisela is not your commander, you can't just put it in the command zone. That's going to be a thing that's going to be really scary. You're going to want sack outlets to get around some of that stuff.
Yeah, and sack outlets can also be mana generators. White is a token color, so that's a great way to ramp, as well as an Ashnod's Altar and a bunch of 1/1s.
Yeah, that's a really good point.
Yeah, so I think this deck can definitely be built. I still might go the flavorful route and make the new Sigar the commander of it.
That's pretty cool.
We'll see. But I do like the challenge of building a mono-white deck here.
Yeah, pretty interesting. So there was another card, because this meld thing, it gets me thinking, and this is, we're going to go into a portion of the show where Jimmy isn't allowed to talk a lot because he knows stuff.
Zip.
But Josh,
and show no reaction too because we're on camera.
Let's see how good your poker face is.
It's pretty good. I'm just gonna stare forward.
It's pretty good. I'm gonna try and do that too.
All right.
So
what are you theorizing, Josh?
Well, the meld it's hard not to talk like a robot when you're doing the face, right? Like do
what
the poker face.
What are you theorizing, Josh?
Okay. So there's been another card spoiled. It's called Handvir, the Writhing Township. It's the backside of a meld card, I think. So there's been... Let me read the card. Okay. It's a legendary creature, Eldrazi Drone. It's a 7/4 with Trample Haste. It has no casting cost. It has the same Emrakul symbol in the top left corner that Brazella has. It says, whenever Handvir the Rising... Whenever Handvir the Writhing Township attacks, put 2/3/2 colorless Eldrazi horror creature tokens onto the battlefield tapped and attacking. So it's a 7/4 Trample Haste, and when it attacks... You get 2/3/2s that are also attacking.
And they don't go away, and the total damage is 13. Wah, wah,
wah. So it's like a super crazy Goblin Rabble Master on steroids.
Yep.
But this is the backside of... It's hard to tell. It's either the backside of a meld card, so it could be two cards that combine, or it's the backside of a werewolfy... It's not a werewolf, but, you know, just a regular flip card.
A dual face card.
Yeah. Yeah. So...
Who knows?
I mean, that's my question. Like, is Brazella unique in that that's the only meld card? It seems weird, if that's the case, to give the mechanic a name. So it leads me to think, like, Handvir, the Writhing Township, is a meld card. And maybe there's a couple more meld cards in the set. It feels like if they're going to go to all the trouble to design this meld mechanic and have cards that have half of a card on the back that come together, that they're going to do it a couple of times. And the interesting thing about Handvir is it's a place, right? It's a town. You can talk about that.
Yes. I mean, it's the Writhing Township.
Right. And it's like,
mentioned a lot in a lot of Shadows over Innistrad cards.
Handvir Militia. Yeah. Like, they're from that place. So there's also been speculation that it could be like a couple of lands that turn into the Writhing Township. Or like a land and something else, maybe. That's super interesting. Like... That seems sweet. It's just the possibilities for the meld mechanic just like are kind of crazy. Also, it's legendary. The Handvir the Writhing Township. I always want to say Rising. Is the other side, and it's colorless. So we don't know, is the other side legendary? Like, how does the legendary rule work? If one side was legendary but the other side wasn't, could I use it as my commander?
Who knows?
Well, I don't... That's not... No, you can talk about that. That's not part of the NDA. You don't know the answer either, though.
But I don't know, yeah. I would assume that if Handwear was a double-faced card and the other side did not say Legendary on it, I don't think you could play it because it would be similar to Westvale Abbey, which is not Legendary on one side, but the creature on the other side is. Ormondal is Legendary.
But you can't play Ormondal. Yeah, that's a really good point. So, Ormondal cannot be your commander.
But
Handwear
is a name of a full-on city. It is a unique place. So if the other side, if this is a double-faced card, I don't know if it's a meld card or not. Who knows? Who knows?
Right.
If it is legendary on that side, then you could...
What if it was a legendary land?
Then you definitely can't... I mean, how are you supposed to...
You can't have a land as your command.
It's not a creature, right?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So it's really interesting to sort of think about how this meld mechanic will work, how to work with our format, what other cards they could do. I mean, it could be two cards that are different colors, in which case, what if they're... Oh, I don't even know. What? Okay, let's say...
Who knows? Could be anything.
Let's say that there's two legendary creatures that turn into Handvir the Writhing Township, but one of them's green and one of them's red, but you can only have one of those be your commander.
Oh, then you cannot play.
Then you can't play it as your commander, because, well, you could, you just could never flip it over.
Yeah, you'd have to do what we were talking about, which is have another colored commander that fits those colors and play those cards inside it. Now, what I'm really interested, I wonder if they'll ever do this someday. Who knows? They'll make lands have a casting cost, like very special lands. Like if Handvir was a land that, you know, because I see this all the time in games like Dominion.
Right.
Like, oh, this township, you know, it has abilities. You're going to buy this township and you're going to pay for it. It'd be interesting if there's a super powered land that costs mana to play. It could be just too powerful, though, probably. Lands in general are too powerful, I think.
Who knows?
Who knows? Yeah, so Hammer of the Rising Township. I cannot wait to see this card. I would love to play it in Limited because it looks like a freaking beating. Like, how do you beat this card? I don't know.
I mean, if it's two cards that got to come together to make that card, it's just going to be very rare that in Limited. I hope they have it at Common or Uncommon so you have a chance to, like, do it in Limited. But, again, that might just be too broken. This mechanic's crazy. It's just really hard to tell. Like, will people try to pull it off in Constructed? Like, it's a combo, right?
I would love to see Brazella get pulled off in Constructed. I think that would be an absolute blast.
Yeah, it feels crazy. I mean, the four casting cost Gisela, that's totally Constructed playable.
You 100% would play Gisela, and then you would play Avis in the next turn, and then you would have another
turn. But Bruna's a seven cost. That seems tough.
I know, but you get a card back with it, so it's like playing two cards for one. You
problem
know?
Is, it's almost worse because when you flip into Brazella, now one card kills both those cards.
It's true, but it's Brazella. How are they going to beat it? It's Brazella. Maybe you should just play Emrakul.
Who knows?
Who knows? Also worth mentioning, and we're going to have a set review for Eldritch Moon as well when the full set is spoiled, but Ulrich of the Kralen Horde. Oh, yeah. We finally have the legendary werewolf creature that people have been asking for a billion sets, I swear.
Oh, yeah. They were really complaining when it didn't exist in Shadows.
Yeah, exactly.
So we have it now. We'll talk about it in our set review a little bit more, probably. It's not, I don't think, the werewolf commander everybody was hoping for, but it is a werewolf commander.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, look, I mean, there will probably be more in the future. Hey, there may even be another one in the set itself. Who knows?
Who knows?
But Ulrich of the Kralen Horde is a great start, at least, to get a werewolf commander if you guys wanted to make werewolf EDH decks.
Let's read it really quick, because if you're watching the video, you're seeing it. But if you're driving and listening, then we might as well read it. It's three, a green, and a red for a legendary creature. Human werewolf, it's a 4/4. Whenever this creature enters the battlefield or transforms into Ulrich of the Kralen Horde, target creature gets +4/+4 until end of turn. And then at the beginning of each upkeep, the normal werewolf clause, if no spells were cast last turn, transform Ulrich into, go ahead.
Ulrich, uncontested alpha. It's a 6/6 legendary creature werewolf, no longer a human. Whenever this creature transforms into Ulrich, uncontested alpha, you may have it fight target non-werewolf creature you don't control. And the other is standard werewolf clause. At the beginning of each upkeep, if a player casts two or more spells last turn, transform Ulrich, uncontested alpha. So I actually think this is more powerful than people give it credit for, because this is going to be transforming back and forth in an EDH game a bunch. There are going to be a lot of times when someone's playing a Mizzix deck and will just go, pass turn, transform into Ulrich, murder something.
Yeah, because it just, anything with less than six toughness, it just kills.
Mm-hmm.
And then it also is a giant growth when you play it.
Yeah,
think of it in like a Xenagod deck, because itself the +4/+4.
It can give anything on the board. So if it's someone else's turn and it transforms and it's like, hey, you want one of your guys to be +4/+4?
Yeah.
Here you go.
But it can give it to itself. So it's an 8/8 for 5 mana that Xenagos then doubles its power and toughness and gives it haste, right? So it's pretty, or if you already had a creature, it just gives that +4/+4 and then you're off. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. I think people were disappointed that there's no text on Ulrich that says, like, all your werewolves get +1/+1.
Right, or a lord.
Or your werewolves can't turn back to their human side. Or that's. I think those are the types of effects people were hoping for, because werewolves are really tough in Commander because it's so easy to flip them, because people have so many more cards and the games go so late that, you know, if I want to play two spells, I usually can.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas in normal constructed formats, it's because there's so many players, they can collude to control your werewolf.
Yeah.
Whereas in one-on-one, it's a lot harder to do that, because it's just, can I play two spells? I can't ask my other opponent of that guy to help me out.
Right.
So.
Yeah, I mean, I personally like this a lot. I just think because it has an enter the battlefield ability when it flips both ways, that's going to be fun, just because it's a lot more interactivity. So
it's definitely cool.
Yeah, it's definitely cool.
All right, time for To the Listeners. Actually, I want to add to this one too. So, To the Listeners, what we have written down is, what are your cool ideas for Brazella?
Voice of Nightmares.
So we want to hear, because again, when we're recording this, we don't have EDH Rec or whatever available to us. But also, Soul Separator.
Yes.
I really want to know how to break that card.
I am very... I want someone with better skills at Search and Gatherer and Magic Cards.info or whatever, and tell me what cards just get nuts with Soul Separator.
Yeah, Soul Separator is really, it's interesting. It's crazy. I don't think we've seen this exact effect before. So how do we take advantage of that?
Mm-hmm. All right. One more time before we head up to the end step. Guys, we have a brand new sponsor for the show, Card Kingdom. I'm so incredibly excited because we get to have a Keys of the Kingdom launch contest. We're giving 48 packs of Eternal Masters away, and Card Kingdom is just straight up a quality website as well as a quality store. If you're in Seattle, you have to go to Card Kingdom.
Oh, yeah. I've never been, but you've actually been, and you've shown me pictures of it, and people talk about it all the time. I know, you know, guys like Marshall and whatnot have, and Kenji, you know, have been there a lot. And
to me, it's the undisputed best card store.
It looks gorgeous from the pictures.
It's incredible. Hardwood floors. It's got this incredible ambience to it.
Isn't there like a whole cafe bar?
Yeah, there's a place called Cafe Mox for all you Magic players attached to the main location. And they just opened up another one in Bellevue, so across the water. Yeah, it's great. They have, it's so well organized. You can rent board games out for free. They have areas for Warhammer, for tabletop, for card games and everything. And upstairs is where they do all their shipping and stuff for their cards. So
pretty sweet. Make sure you use the URL cardkingdom.com/commandzone. Mm-hmm. And let them know that we're the ones that sent you, and that'll support the cast.
And make sure to follow us at CommandCast on Twitter if you want to win one of or more of 48 packs of Eternal Masters.
It's going to be more. We're going to give away more than one at once. So if you win, you will get quite a bit of value. You will want to be entered in that contest. Go to Twitter. We're CommandCast. Hit that follow button again. After a couple weeks from now, you never have to look at it again. But just give yourself a chance to win all kinds of free Eternal. There's Mana Crypts. There's Foil Mana Crypts.
Foil Mana Crypts.
Foil Force of Wills. They're like $500 or something.
Yeah, it's absurd. Very exciting. Hope to open one someday.
Oh, before we go into the end step, one other thing that I wanted to mention was friends of the show and listeners, Kenny and Tim, have started a new podcast. It's called Flavor Fail. You can find them also on Twitter at Flavor Fail. And it's a Vorthos podcast.
Very exciting. Haven't not seen much Vorthos content out there in general, so I'm excited.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. They've got, I think, 3 episodes out now, and they're short. They're about a half hour, and they sort of do a quick recap about what the story is that's going on with Magic, which I find awesome because I just don't always have time to keep up with all the articles and read them and whatnot. And it's easier for me while I'm in the car to just hear Kenny and Tim explain to me like all the stuff that's happened up till now. And they also have some cool speculative, you know, thoughts about what's going on. You know, like they're not the only ones, but they were pretty sure it was Emrakul that was coming. And
yeah,
and they get to do stuff like that. So it's pretty, it makes it a lot less impact to follow along with the story if you check out podcasts like this. So go find Flavor Fail and check them out.
It's a good name. All right, moving on to the end step where we usually talk about something outside the world of Magic, but we've been gone for 2 weeks, so we're just going to keep talking about Magic the Gathering.
I mean, it is really 2 weeks and nothing else has happened except for Magic stuff.
Yeah, exactly. We had Grand Prix Eternal Masters, GPEMA. Awesome. We took a small trip to Las Vegas, me, Josh, and 6 of our fellow friends from out of state as well.
Kenji was there.
Yeah, Kenji and our friends up from San Francisco. So we tried to get as big of an... Brian Tran actually organized the whole thing. He was like, hey, guys, I really want to do this. I've been trying to do this for a long time. Let's try and get it together. So with a little bit of help, we managed to get 8 of us into a hotel room at the Plaza. Actually, if you guys went to GP Vegas, that is where we had our giant commander meetup, one of the best times of my life.
Yeah, that was awesome. And because we knew the people at the Plaza, we went back. And this set us up with a suite. We had a big table. We had about 3 cases of Eternal Masters product.
Yeah, it was crazy.
And we got through as many drafts as we could with the 8 people. Actually, we technically had 9 because Marshall came in for a little bit.
Yep.
So, and he did 1 draft with us. Man, it was awesome.
Yeah, it was awesome. It was really great to just play a lot of Eternal Masters. And we all had bought a box. So the whole thing was like, look, we all have bought a box. We're going to draft it and not rare draft it. That way we can have a pure drafting experience. And every time we'd be like, all right, cool. Today we're cracking Josh's box. So we'd all open it and be like, oh, cool, Josh, you got this. And then we would draft it like normal, not just taking the money card so that we actually had decks.
It made it like a phantom draft.
Yeah, like a phantom draft, which is really, really sweet. And I think it made it much more worth it because I've done a couple of drafts of VMA outside of it. And up to like 5 of my picks just don't go in my deck because I'm like, oh, I just want this card.
Yeah, I mean, realistically, I think that's okay because you're never really going to draft Eternal Masters without worrying about what the money cards are unless you did it the way we did. But also, like, we all wanted to open a box, right?
Yep.
Like, that's one of the fun things about Magic is cracking packs, but it's expensive for Eternal Masters, and a great way to get additional value out of it is you get an entire draft, and then just at the end, everybody just gives you those cards because that's your box. And this allowed us to do that for every person. So we actually got through all 8 boxes for each person, and each person got to, you know, open better cards than I did.
Very exciting. So Josh hasn't had the best luck personally open boxes, but...
But when my girlfriend opens them, we're good.
Yeah. You've had a good streak, good hot streak of cards. But yeah.
I would encourage you to, with your friends, and not for Eternal Masters only, any set, you know, and we've started doing this for almost every set when it comes out now, mm-hmm. which is just, you know, that first weekend, just getting a bunch of our play group, 8 guys, and then just spending, you know, a good chunk of the day or the whole day just drafting that set right when it comes out. And we actually only play 2 matches rather than 3, just so we can get more drafts in. It's super, super fun. You learn a lot about the format, like, really fast.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love it.
And it's a great way for me. I always will end up buying a box, or, you know, the last couple of sets I've missed out on it because I haven't been there for this kind of event, but I totally would otherwise.
Well, also, it was in Vegas.
Yeah.
And
we spent some time doing other Vegas-y things.
Everybody made money at the crafts table. That was another awesome thing.
That was beyond awesome. That actually statistically should not have happened, but it did. So
all the rooms got comped. I mean, I'm just bragging now, but it was a great weekend.
They attributed that to me for some reason. I don't know why.
Because you were going crazy.
Maybe. Who knows?
We won't talk about that because we have children listening.
That's right. Vegas. What happens in Vegas stays in Vegas, because all we did was sit by the pool and drink Coca-Cola.
Yeah.
Like responsible adults.
Who knows?
Who knows? All right, on to the cleanup step. Our sister podcast is the Masters of Modern. I already see Josh's face going, oh no, Jimmy started the cleanup step. That's right, guys.
From me.
You can check them out at the MMcast. Alex and Ben, they've been doing an awesome job with the podcast. They keep bringing on amazing guests. They had a very controversial episode talking about whether or not they should ban Blood Moon.
Ban Blood Moon!
I know Josh hasn't even played Modern. What you're talking about,
actually,
Commander, right?
Somebody brought up a really good point on Twitter because I was voicing support for the banning of Blood Moon in Modern. And somebody's like, well, if they ban it in Modern, the price is going to drop. And then everybody in Commander will be able to. And I was like, oh, never mind.
Keep it legal in Modern.
Keep it legal and just stop reprinting it. So the price is high enough that Commander players don't want to play it.
You're such a flip flopper, Josh.
Yeah, I am.
Too easy.
I was born for politics.
So make sure you guys check them out. They are a sister podcast. They talk about Modern. If you guys are interested in that format or just about learning how to play more competitively in general, they have awesome, awesome shows. So check them out, rocketjump.com/TheMMcast or at TheMMcast on Twitter.
Our editor is Terry Robertson. Special thanks to Jeffrey Palmer for the Living Cards animations. If you're watching this video, you're seeing our faces. You also saw the awesome Soul Ring animation that Jeffrey did specifically for our show. He's great. He's everywhere. Check him out at Living Cards MTG.
And kudos for Terry for editing the first ever video podcast of us.
I'm assuming it went off without a hitch.
Without a single hitch.
With no hitches.
Congratulations.
All right, everybody. Thanks for listening.
And we will see you next time.
Peace.
For your attention. For further inquiries, send an email to commandcast@rocketjump.com or ask us on Twitter at JF Wong and at Josh Lee Kwai. See you later, alligator.
Greetings, humans.